Hi, just about to make the announcement. Looking for check-ins. How are you, sir? You're kind of light, but I hear you okay, so I've got you checked in as number two on the list, sir. Alrighty, so I'll be clear with KTAEHR. This is KAHJOY. Looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net, over.
KO4FE.
KO4FE, good evening, Mr. Bill. Good to hear you in there. Let me pass on. I heard somebody else underneath you. The other station, go ahead. Well, I had a hard time figuring that one out. Could you say it again, but slowly? And I've got N4ROQ. Let me see if I have anybody else. This is KHOY for the Liberty Net.
Kilo, Oscar 4, Delta Tango, Robbie, Micah.
Robbie, go ahead and say it again for me slower. Kilo, Oscar 4, Golf Sierra Tango. Alrighty, Robbie, still coming up as Robert, but I will correct that. Let me do that while I stand by for a moment. Looking for additional check-ins for the Saturday night Liberty Net. Please come now. KD0RSA. I got you in there, Mr. Mo. KD0RSA, you're sounding great. I had another station call out with kind of light. Did you say your call again? I know it's in November 4, but that's as much as I can hear from the static. Maybe we'll try one more time. I'm going to try one more time for some check-ins, and then I'm going to open the door. Alrighty, net logger's acting really strange, but I think I got everybody in there except that November 4th station. So good evening to all participants on this 75 meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now since the year of 1974. Founded by the late Mr. Victor, W1WCR. This is the area net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics to welcome tonight on the real, the great Liberty Net. I will open by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, I'm going to go over here and make a few clicks, and I'm just going to open by a quick article in the Epic Times. I really like the Epic Times. State legislators grapple to address big tech censorship. The states are busy looking for ways to curb big tech's outsized power as Google, Facebook, and Twitter have ramped up censorship in the recent months. As we know, if you don't agree with the left, you get censored. Confronting tech censorship, however, has been especially challenging for free market-minded legislators who struggle to achieve the right balance between regulating social media platforms and promoting innovation and free enterprise. While state legislatures are growing frustrated with big tech, that's no simple solution to the censorship problem, according to Lisa Nelson, the CEO of American Legislative Exchange Council. As everybody knows, the former President Trump filed a suit against them and the censorship. They want to censor our former president, but the left and people like the Ayatollah from Iran and Hamas, who hates Israel, they're allowed to be on the platform, but not right-wing President Trump, people who believe in the republic, not democracy, into the republic that we are, the representative republic. With that being said, I'm going to open the door to Mr. Clint in the beautiful state of Michigan. KC8DHR. Mr. Clint, good evening. What do you have to say for your opening line?
Some Russians, and who apparently stole his computer. It says Hunter claimed someone stole his computer and, quote, did all this kind of like pretend search and shit, close quote. He says, I think he's the one that stole my computer. I think the three guys were like a little group. The dealer and his two guys. I took them everywhere, effing everywhere, crazy out of your mind stuff. The hooker asked Hunter what was on his stolen laptop as the two did drugs naked in the bed. He said, they have videos of me doing crazy effing sex, effing, you know, Hunter said, adding that they would use it for blackmail because his dad, Joe, was going to run for president. My dad, inaudible, running for president, Hunter whispers. He is. I talk about it all the time. Well, so anyway, the Russians got him videotaped doing all kind of crazy sex stuff. God only knows what. You know, you have to wonder, why does he video record all this stuff? You know, and then leave these laptops laying around while he's passed out from a drug overdose. God, I mean, this guy's got some big problems. But he's the smartest guy Joe Biden knows. Always remember that. Speaking of another, the smart guy that made that remark, here's another one. This is KO4FE. Joe Biden. Oh, God. Headline Fox News. Joe Biden put his foot on the neck of the energy industry. Now he wants more oil. The Biden administration asked OPEC countries to increase their oil production in order to lower U.S. energy costs. Now, isn't that something? We were energy independent when Trump was in. Now, after Biden caused so much trouble and tried to regulate our domestic oil out of business, now he's running over to Saudi Arabia begging them for more oil. Anyway, let's get into this story so you can have the facts. Selena Zito, a political reporter at the Washington Examiner, said she was befuddled that President Joe Biden would call on OPEC to produce more oil while gas prices soar in the United States. Zito, who was a guest on Tucker Carlson Tonight Wednesday, asked why the Biden administration was now sounding the alarm about fast rising energy prices after the president put his foot on the neck of the oil and gas industry day one in office. She said the energy industry in the United States has been one of the most robust sectors in our economy, leading right before the pandemic. We produced more oil than any other country in the world, and we were self-sufficient in that area. The remarks came after Jake Sullivan, Biden's national security advisor, said in a statement released by the White House that OPEC's agreed upon production increases are simply not enough to support global recovery from the pandemic, and said the nations need to do more to support the recovery. She said the energy industry created jobs across the U.S. and called it curious that the Biden administration would ask OPEC to produce more oil while limiting its production in the United States. And I might add that the other day I was out riding around and I decided to stop by an old frack processing plant where I used to work, and I went down there and there was a damn chain across the road. You couldn't even get into the place. It was closed. And that was in the afternoon during the weekdays. And I know when I worked there, that place was like a beehive. I mean, it was just running. We were running full tilt 24/7 down there, dealing with the fracking industry. And now the place has a chain across the road. You can't even get in there, and nobody's working. There's no cars or anything. Just some old equipment sitting around. Anyway, getting back to the article, it says not only was that a job creator, not only just directly within the energy industry, but also the downstream industries that support it and the communities that then thrive on it and the school districts that benefit from it, she said. But it's also very important in national security, which is why I thought it was curious today that the national security head was telling, essentially begging OPEC countries to produce more oil. Zito also noted that this is just the most recent example of Biden's history of harming the U.S. oil industry. She said the energy industry Joe Biden has put his foot on since day one, and there's no exaggeration in that statement from his executive orders on the Keystone Pipeline to halting or pausing production on federal lands with fracking in New Mexico and also oil production in Louisiana. He has impacted lives, American lives, profoundly right there. And that's true because there's all kind of industries that are related. You had not only the oil or gas workers, you had the drilling companies, you had hundreds and hundreds of truck drivers, you had the trucking dealers, the people that sold the trucks were doing a land office business. You had all kinds of industrial suppliers that were making money. Thousands of people working in the industry, and now, at least where I'm at, what used to be a booming industry is almost dead. I used to always see frack trucks hauling equipment, water, and all kinds of equipment, sand trucks and what have you, constantly up and down the roads. Now you don't see that. Joe Biden helped wipe that out. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. It's almost like as soon as he walked in the office, he didn't want anything that was successful from the previous administration. And now look at the pickle we're in, over.
Yeah, Roger. Well, you know, there's one thing about the liberals. They're always stupid, and everything they touch turns to crap.
Yep, including the cities that they run. How true. Thank you, Mr. Bill. I appreciate it. KO4FE, KJOI. Let me go to another Bill in Joplin, Missouri. Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. Mr. Bill in Joplin, good evening. What do you have to open the door?
Good evening, Bob, and everybody out here on the net. It's good to be able to hear you. This is KE0 VRT on Joplin, Missouri. Tonight I have an article out of the Irish Times, The Future of the Coronavirus. Nothing worse than the common cold. And this article does, it does lean towards pro-vaccine, but it also says that these conditions are going to happen regardless of whether people are vaccinated or whether they get an infection. You know, the media likes to put out a lot of fear. You know what? It's kind of surprising even the right-wing media doesn't report this, but it says it's not going to be anything worse than the common cold. Once the immunity is widespread, COVID-19 will resemble an annoying childhood infection, scientists predict. As millions are inoculated against the coronavirus and the pandemic seems to gain in the news, scientists are envisioning what a post-vaccine world might look like and what they see is coming. Coronavirus is here to stay, but what's most known to me is that in the new infection or vaccination, the virus will be no more than a threat than the common cold. In the Journal of Science this week. The virus is a grim menace now because it is an unfamiliar pathogen that can overrun the adult immune system, which has not been trained to fight it. That will no longer be the case once everyone has been exposed to either the virus or the vaccine. Children, on the other hand, are constantly challenged by pathogens that are new to their bodies, and that is one reason they are more adept to adults than they are coronavirus. Eventually, the study suggests the virus will be as contained only in children younger than 5, subjecting them to mere sniffles or no symptoms at all. depending on how fast the virus spreads and on the strength of one's immune response, it would take a few years to decades of natural infections for the coronavirus to become endemic. In other words, coronavirus will become endemic as pathogen is circulating at low levels and only rarely causes serious illness. The timing of how long it takes to get to this sort of quite quickly, vaccination is rolled out, says Jamie Levine, a postdoctoral fellow at Emory University who led the study. So really, the name of the game is getting everyone exposed for the first time to vaccine or natural infection as quickly as possible. Levine and her colleagues looked at 600 human coronaviruses, truly called common, calling plus cars and nerve viruses, to produce to the fate of the new pathogen. Common cold virus. Symptoms. Severe acute respiratory syndrome and memory respiratory syndrome, which surfaced in 2003 and 2012 respectively, made people severely ill, but they did not spread widely. Although all these coronaviruses produce similar immune response, the new virus is most similar to the endemic common cold coronaviruses. Levine and her colleagues hypothesized. Reanalyzing data from the previous study, they found that the first infection with common cold coronavirus occurs on average at 3 to 5 years of age. After that age, people may become infected again and again, boosting their immunity and keeping the virus circulating if they don't become ill. The researchers foresee a similar feature for a COVID-19 virus, depending on how fast the virus spreads and on the strength and longevity of the immune response. It will take a few years to decades of natural infection to first coronavirus to become endemic. Without a vaccine, the fastest pathogenic status is also the worst. The price for population immunity would be widespread illness and death along the way. Vaccines completely alter that calculus. The faster people can become immunized, the better. And you know what? I'm going to add in that, this is a pro-vaccine article. At least it's being honest in saying that it's going to become endemic regardless of whether there's a vaccine or not. Anyway, I'll continue on. In addition, this will allow to shorten the timeline to a year or just even 6 months for the COVID-19 virus to become an endemic infection. Still, the vaccines are unlikely to eradicate it. Levine predicts the virus will become a permanent, albeit more benign, inhabited environment. Other experts say this scenario is not just plausible but likely. The overall intellectual construct in the paper I pointed out says Shane Crotty, a virus expert at the La Jolla Institute for Immunology in San Diego. If the vaccine prevents people from transmitting virus, it will become a lot more like the measles scenario where you vaccinate everybody, including kids, and you really don't see the virus infecting people anymore, Crotty said. Well, that's not the kind of vaccine we got. It does not prevent infection, it does not prevent you from spreading it. Anyway, I'll continue on. The vaccines will prevent illness, but not necessarily transmission and infection. And that means COVID-19 virus will continue to circulate. It is unlikely that the vaccine we have right now is going to provide a sterilizing immunity, the kind needed to prevent infection, says Jennifer Goldman, an immunologist at the University of Toronto. Natural infection with coronavirus produces a strong immune response in the nose and throat, but with the current vaccines, natural immune response in the upper respiratory tract, you're getting an infection in the injection in the arms. That raises the likelihood that it will still occur, even after vaccination. Ultimately, the Beans model rests on the assumption that the new coronavirus is similar to the common cold virus, but that assumption may not hold up, talking to Mark Lippisch, a public health researcher at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston. Another possible scenario is that the virus may turn on the end of a seasonal flu, which is mild some years and more lethal than others. Other coronavirus infections may or may not be amplified. We haven't seen what those coronavirus depending to an older, naive person, as it says. Naive, a first-gen adult whose immune system has not been exposed to the virus. Another plausible scenario, he says, that the virus may come to resemble the seasonal flu, which is mild some years and more lethal than others. New variants of COVID-19 virus that evade the immune response may also complicate the picture. Well, that's what all all the other cold viruses do as well. They mutate them and they don't make us as sick as what they would have been anyway. So anyway, I'll continue on. The prediction of it becoming more like the common cold virus is where I put a lot of my money, but I don't think it's absolutely guaranteed. When and how the common cold virus first appeared is a mystery, but the emergence of new coronaviruses, some scientists have revisited the theory that a pandemic in the 1890s, which killed about 1 million people worldwide, may have been caused by OC43, one of the four common cold virus coronaviruses. People have suggested that the human population developed a low-grade broad immunity to OC43 that terminated the pandemic. Immunologist at the Montreal Clinical Research Institute. This coronavirus currently broadly circulates in the community in rather peaceful ways. So here, it's just this coronavirus is new, and it's happened before, and it's killed a lot of people, but today is just a normal, everyday coronavirus that causes cold. So I don't believe that this one's going to be done the same. And, you know, I do have a prediction that they're going to use this coronavirus again for the next election year, next year. By the middle of next year, we're going to say the vaccines are ineffective whatsoever, and we've got to relax our voting regulations. Keep that in mind, that's my prediction. They're going to try to use this virus again for the election year. Anyway, back to you, Mom. KJOY, this is KE0VRT.
Thank you, Bill. KE0VRT. I have to say, now the grocery stores here in Ohio, they had a sign that said if you, they'll leave it up to your discretion. Now they're asking for masks again, so we're already seeing this way we're going. I'm not wearing one. I went in there the other day. The first thing I do is get frozen food, ice cream or popsicles. I go through the store, get myself, went up to the counter, and one of the young men that I know said, "You're not wearing a mask." And I said, "Hey, I'll leave my cart right here and leave right now if you want me to." That would mean they'd have to put all that stuff back. Again, they're pushing that narrative again. They can't seem to stop it. And you're right. There's a good chance they'll go that direction for our elections. Over.
Yeah, Roger, on that. In fact, I've seen a report from an NBC affiliate out of California that they've actually reported that somebody that was vaccinated got it from a whole bunch of people that were vaccinated and actually died from it. And you know, the only reason this mainstream media would talk about vaccine failure is if they're doing exactly what I'm going to be predicting.
Yep, you have a good finger on that, Paul. All righty, sir, thank you. Thank you for your opening. I'm KEOVRT, KJY. I'm going to jump down to Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee, good evening. Good to hear you. Over.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Don't have a whole lot just about the Afghan withdrawal. It looks like they're cutting off people's heads over there. It's catastrophic. Here's an article from Fox News. If I can get it here. It says, well, I'll go ahead with this. It says, White House increases U.S. troops to help with Kabul, evacuating 5,000. President Biden has, moving back here. There's one that says, this is akin to it here. I got two that's close by. Biden accused of blowing Americans' reputation as world watches the Taliban's sixth slaughter rampage. McCarthy slams Biden Afghanistan withdrawal as an embarrassment to our nation. Former CIA Director General Petraeus called the situation in Afghanistan catastrophic. Taliban executions, beheadings in Afghanistan strike fear among those stuck inside the country. Meghan McCain torches Biden for withdrawing ISIS 3.0 with Afghan withdrawal. Absolutely shameful. So they're really killing the people that were especially on our side over there. They're cutting their heads off. And so it's a bad situation. Plus, we've got probably got a lot of people over there we can't get out. We've got a lot of problems. They tried to withdraw before they secured the area. They're taking over all the towns and cities over there, and doing what they want to do. The Afghanistan guys there. Let's see what's the rebels there. So okay, go back to another one here. It says Antifa thugs attack protesters in violent brawl that ends in bloodshed. Parents across U.S. revolt against school boards on math, critical race theory, and gender issues. These Democrats have got all this crap going. Gender issues, critical race, they've got all this stuff. Dozens of Antifa violent rioters and anti-mask protesters clashed in Los Angeles Saturday, resulting in one person stabbed, police said. Antifa thugs clashed with anti-mask protesters outside Los Angeles City Hall on Saturday afternoon, resulting in multiple injuries. A breaking, brutal right wing versus Antifa brawl breaks out. They're calling the right wing brutal because they don't want to wear all this mask crap they're coming out with. Journalist Andy NGO tweeted Saturday, along with a video from videographer Sean Carmichael, who was at the scene. One of Antifa who charges into fight gets pummeled to the ground. A woman trying to help him gets hit on the head. The Antifa ends up retreating. Okay. Portland police don't intervene as Antifa Proud Boys battle in the streets. So there's a lot of stuff going on that we really don't know a whole lot about. It says, at one point, Carmichael tweeted that a man had been stabbed, which he says was confirmed by the LAPD. That man was transferred to a hospital by ambulance. So, Antifa sympathizers celebrate death of Washington State Sheriff Deputy. Carmichael documented several more skirmishes and police officers ultimately got involved to separate the two crowds. Both sides now toning each other. LAPD has about 30 personnel between both, mostly pointing towards the counter-protesters rather than the anti-mask side. Some of the protesters who had gathered in City Hall to protest against masks and vaccine band-aids could be seen yelling F at Antifa to the counter-protesters clad in all black. Anti-vaxxers have been holding violent protests, attacking innocent bystanders in the process, a Twitter account linked. I don't believe that. I believe that they're writing this stuff to suit their position. Okay, well, I'll stop it right there, Bob. From Afghanistan to our cities, to all these Antifas, let people in the border. I mean, these socialist Democrats with Biden as the president have upset the apple cart and really ruined our country, along with all their different programs with electric cars and electric windmills, doing away with our gas, all that. I see Bill brought out about Biden's trying to get now some more gas in here, try to get the gas prices down a little bit. I don't think he knows what's going on. So anyway, back to you, Bob, N4ROQ on the Liberty News.
Well, you're right, Larry. I don't think Sippy Cup Joe knows what's going on. And yes, the Afghanistan thing is a mess. Can you imagine the fear that strikes into people about being beheaded? Dying is not a good thing anyhow, but I'm telling you, being shot is not different than being beheaded. That is just a horrific thing that they're doing. And there we go, sending our troops back over there when I know you want to get out, but you got out, you left equipment behind, and now it's just a crazy place. They were afraid of President Trump, but they're not afraid of this guy, so. N4ROQ, thank you, sir. I'm going to jump down to Mr. Robbie in South Carolina. K04GFD, K88JOY. Hi, Robbie. What do you got for us?
Thank you, K88JOY. I got this little story from CBS Minnesota. It talks about the Minnesota GOP party leaders to have emergency meetings following federal sex trafficking charges against Republican operative Ed Godin. The executive committee of the Minnesota GOP will have an emergency meeting Friday night in wake of the allegations that Republican donor deeply involved in party politics illegally trafficked minors for sex. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Minnesota said Antoine Rosario, 30, has been arrested and indicted on federal sex trafficking charges for allegedly recruiting six minor victims to engage in commercial sex acts. Rosario's attorney said his client is being falsely accused. Says the court documents were made public Thursday, Rosario's ties to his party and Republicans in elected office have sparked questions and prompted politicians on both sides of the aisle to condemn the allegations. Rosario donated tens of thousands to Republican candidates and party units. Several campaign finance records show, including at least $42,000 to the Minnesota GOP, $15,600 to U.S. Representative Tom Emmer, who is the chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee, and $21,000 to U.S. Republican Jim Haystorn. Several Republicans, including Emerson and Haystorn and others in the legislature, like the Republican leader himself, have sent thousands donate to the charity the contributions of Lazaro made to their campaigns of a political action committee in recent years. Jennifer Conahan, the chair of Minnesota DOP, said in a statement that the party would do the same. If the allegations against Mr. Antoine Lazaro were true, this is an abhorrent act that we condemn in the highest possible terms, Conahan said. The Republican Party of Minnesota will be donating contributions that Mr. Lazaro giving our donations to charity. Two party officials told WCCO that Conahan called the emergency meeting of the state executive board for Friday night, offering no details on other than asking that they attend by Zoom. Members of the board said that they believe the meeting is to do just Lazaro and what was described as deep involvement in the party. Some of them are seeking an audit of the party's finances. David Schull of Professor Heinlein University, who is an expert on election law, said if Republicans' goal is to root out any money donated by Lazaro, it will be difficult as funds can transfer between political units and donations can be hard to trace after a while. If this story is true, you're looking at what most people would say is incredibly dirty money at this point. And even though they might have unwittingly taken this money, not knowing the fact of what somebody's involved in, it is dirty money. They have to find a way to disassociate themselves from him and all the money he's given them. Hexhorn, who is married to Conahan, posted a photo in 2017 on social media of him at Vikings games with Conahan and Lazaro. Conahan and Lazaro hosted a podcast together in 2019 and early 2020. The party chairwoman made no mention of any personal connection to Lazaro in her statement. Senator Robert Chamberlain called for Conahan to step down in regards to her connection to Lazaro Friday night. Chairwoman Conahan must resign immediately. The charges against Antoine Lazaro of sex trafficking minors are deeply disturbing, disgusting, and repulsive. Conahan's close relationship with him is troubling, to say the least, said Chamberlain. If it is possible to believe he didn't know about his activities. Hedgehorn's campaign has released for comment Friday, but NPR reported that Hedgehorn is also donating campaign contributions from Zarda charity. Now, see, these are the types of people that keep on looking out for. We need to weed these people out and get them out of here because this is the poison that's killing America today. People like this. And even though people did maybe unwittingly and unknowingly took his money, it's still, like the man said, it's bad money. And you gotta know what you're doing when people elect you and depend on you to make decisions for them. You gotta know where your money's coming from. You gotta know where your money's coming from and what's happening. This is KO4DST.
KO4DST, KHLY. Where's your partner in crime, KG4ZXNST? Over.
He's monitoring mode tonight. He said he might get in there sometime later.
Alrighty, sir. Well, thank you for being with us. I appreciate your article. I'm KO4DST, KHLY. Next is Mr. Mo in Nebraska. KD0RSA. Mr. Mo, how are you doing? And how are you hearing the Liberty Net tonight? Over. Amplifier is working well. Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, asked me today if he could have your phone number because he wanted to give you a call. So I don't know if he called you already or not. Over.
I don't know.
All righty. Well, he's got your phone number. He wanted to give you a jingle. So you should maybe expect sometime a call from N2IRJ. Thank you, Mr. Mo. I will be back with you. Thanks for joining us. Over. With that being said, last on my list is November 4, Alpha Hotel Oscar, Doug in South Carolina. Are you with us? Over. I thought maybe not because I saw on the net logger that he went offline, so that was not with us still. Do I have anybody else new that would like to check in tonight for the Liberty Net? Nothing heard. I'll bring another article from Epic Times. I really like this newspaper. It says, Texas State Troopers move beyond the highways to curb illegal immigration. Brackettsville, Texas. Texas State Troopers have started delivering van loads of illegal aliens to the Kenny County Sheriff's Office to be charged with criminal trespassing. The parking lot and an old steel picnic table under a tree outside the Sheriff's Office have been the proxy booking center as the building is more suited for the crimes of a quiet rural county of 3,600 residents. But last week, the air was bustling as troopers brought in and processed 17 illegal aliens on August 3rd, another 17 on August 16th, or August 6th, I'm sorry, and 13 more overnight on August 8th. All were males and all appeared before the Kenny County Justice of the Peace for criminal trespass after being arrested on local ranches. So they're infiltrating these areas of Texas and they're going to the ranchers' private property.
On June 1st, Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a disaster declaration, and on June 10th, he directed state troopers to start arresting illegal aliens on charges including trespassing, criminal mischief, and evading officers on foot. But the jails were full, and it took 2 months to make space for the Texas Department of Public Safety to work out the process. I won't read the whole article because it's huge, but again, this is continually using up our resources, using up our jails. We have to feed these people. We have to house these people. If they need medical attention, we have to do that to these people. Other countries do not do that like America does. But yes, our government, our president, and those, especially our vice president, the czar, is allowing this to continue. This is really a shame. We need our borders closed. This is a sovereign country, and you can't have sovereignty with the borders being wide open. With that being said, let me jump back up to Mr. Clint, KCHSO Hotel Romeo. Mr. Clint, I'm back to you. Over. For listening on the SDR. That takes me back to you, Mr. Bill. KO4FE, KAJLY. I want to, what's your next on your agenda?
Okay, KAJLY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Well, last time we talked about Hunter Biden, this time we got another miscreant, this Ilhan Omar. She's a real scam artist. That congresswoman, that Muslim, that white-hating Muslim, part of the squad. Well, here's a story about her. Gateway Pundit, DNA testing confirms Ilhan Omar married her biological brother. Testing allegedly included Ilhan's dirty cigarette butt. A new report alleges DNA testing confirms Ilhan Omar was married to her biological brother, Ahmed Elmi. The two were allegedly married to bypass immigration laws. Omar has never been indicted on this crime. The test results were originally posted on GOP strategist Anton Lazaro's Facebook page. He was arrested hours later by feds on sex trafficking charges. I don't know anything about that, but anyway, it says evidence emerged earlier that Representative Ilhan Omar did indeed marry her brother, and that her real name may actually be Ilhan Nur Said. A resurfaced tweet from 2013 links to a now-deleted Instagram post in which she refers to her father by the name Nur Said, or Said, or I don't know, it's S-A-I-D, but I don't think it's pronounced Said. Maybe it is. Anyway, the tweet was later deleted after news broke, and then there's a picture of the tweet where Ilhan Omar says, "Happy Father's Day to my Abu," I guess that's a Muslim nickname for dad, Nur Said. "I am forever grateful to Allah for giving me the best father." In 2009, Representative Omar married Ahmed Nur Said Elmi, who was the son of Nur Said. As Gateway Pundit previously reported, in 2017, Representative Omar swore under penalty of perjury while divorcing her husband, or should we say brother, that she had not seen Ahmed N. Elmi since 2011 and didn't know anyone who could help her contact him. Then on Friday, a new report was released alleging a DNA test confirmed the two were brother and sister lovers. The Daily Mail reported persistent claims that leftist Congresswoman Ilhan Omar married her own brother to get around U.S. immigration laws may be legitimized by what appears to be a conclusive DNA test. The results of the test assert there is a 99.999999998% chance that Omar and her second husband, Ahmed Elmi, are siblings. The report drawn up by Endeavor DNA Laboratories does not name either Omar or Elmi, instead referring to them as sibling one and sibling two. Daily Mail understands that Omar is sibling one. That says sibling one sample was garnered from a cigarette butt and sibling two's from a drinking straw. Omar has never before been known publicly to be a smoker, although her third husband, Tim Minette, is. However, a grainy picture of her with a cigarette in her mouth said to have been taken outside her home in Washington, D.C., appears as part of the evidence gathered in an intensive investigation by a shadowy conservative group. The test was posted online by Anton Lazaro, a Republican strategist in Minneapolis, on Wednesday. Around 12 hours later, Lazaro was arrested on federal sex trafficking charges. He is now in custody awaiting a hearing on Monday. Lazaro's lawyer, Zachary Newland, could not immediately be reached as he is on a flight. However, he confirmed by email that the website was put up by his client. Omar's spokesman, Jeremy Slevin, threw shade on the report. He said this is a fraudulent website created by a man charged this week with child sex trafficking and lying to federal investigators to cover it up, he said in a statement. Well, whether this guy is involved in some kind of sex trafficking or whether that's some kind of a charge cooked up because he was exposing Ilhan Omar is unknown. The report on the DNA seems legitimate. I don't know. You have to keep an eye on this story. Okay, moving to something else. Well, here it's another GOP candidate's come out denouncing anti-white racism this is getting to be a thing. I'm glad to see some people are showing some guts. About time, but I guess better late than never. But anyway, here's one. GOP Senate candidate says you should be worried about anti-white racism. Millionaire tech mogul Peter Thiel's favorite candidate for an Arizona Senate seat went on a recent attack against anti-white racism, accusing liberal teachers of turning America's students into self-hating automatons. Blake Masters, a 34-year-old venture capitalist and protege of the PayPal founder, recently jumped into the race to face Democrat Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. Weeks before he officially announced his campaign, he delivered a speech that was harshly critical of critical race theory, which he claimed has permeated America's classrooms. He said too much of schooling in America has become a machine to uproot common sense and replace it with something much more sinister. You've heard about critical race theory, he said. All it does is teach kids identified racial terms, right? You are good or bad, depending on what you look like. At this point, it's straight up anti-white racism. I don't think we're allowed to say that, but let's call it what it is. It's toxic, and it does not belong in our schools. We've got to take back the schools and drop and stop the indoctrination, Masters said. The remarks first reported by the informant were made just weeks before Masters officially announced his Senate bid at a May 25th rally in Phoenix. Masters is running to face Democrat Senator Mark Kelly and is currently in a crowded primary that includes Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich and his anti-CRT attack isn't just a one-off. He warned of schools that teach our kids to hate our country in his campaign launch video. So there you go, Blake Masters. I might have to give some money to that guy. Sounds like he's on the right track with this anti-white nonsense and this. It's Marxism. Critical race theory is Marxism. And it's anti-white. It needs to stop. And any candidate that won't denounce it is a coward and a cuck. And he needs to be replaced with someone that will stand up for his constituents. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Mr. Bill. KO4FE, KHOI. Isn't it a shame that, just to name a few, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Tory Bush, Rashida Tlaib, Nancy Pelosi, those kind of dirtbags are in the people's house. That really is sad. I think Rashida Tlaib is one that I am kind of interested in. That's a worthless person. Has a long documented history of anti-Semitism. Her disdain for the Jewish people has been on full display since she stepped into the political spotlight as a freshman member of Congress nearly 2 years ago. But yet, they call you and I a racist, but she hates Jews and hates the Israeli government and country. And that's okay. That's okay for her to say that, over.
Yeah, well, I'm not a Jew, but I am white, and I know she hates white people. They all do, so that's what concerns me more than anything.
And there they are in the people's house. Wow. It makes you shake your head. So thank you. KO4FE, KJY. Let me jump down over to Missouri. Another Mr. Bill. KE0DRT.
K-A-H-A-O-Y. Hey, Bob. This is the jump in Missouri, and this is the Liberty Net. This will be my last round for the night, and before I get into this next article, I was just wanting to bring up another thing. I had noticed that the Department of Homeland Security is coming out and give a terror warning, something relating to people people doing violence over COVID restrictions. So it kind of seems to me like they're getting ready to lock the red tide, you know, on the restrictions. And they're playing around with the protest. But what the DNC put a tariff on that also kind of tells me that anybody that gets out there and protests these restrictions that are coming, jailed like they were terrorists, you know, they're going to be held differently and they're not going to have any bail, there's not going to be a speedy trial or anything like that. That's kind of what I'm seeing coming. So anyway, the next article is out of American Thinker, and the name of it is The Silent Majority of Being Loud. When the government fails to act in the interest of its citizens, it's their duty to take action. For 20 plus years, the United States has seen failure of government through unrestricted trade deals, uncontrolled spending, and failed foreign policy. And this business has created a seething anger within the American citizenry. As was their duty, the citizens took action at the ballot box. They elected John Donald Trump in 2016. President Trump didn't create the anger created him. While he made substantial strides in response to their grievances, his time in office before he institutionalized the necessary course corrections, particularly with unprecedented resistance from the deep state. The grievances of the citizenry were unfortunately, avenues of redress, our institutions are no longer providing equal protection, our freedom of expression has been curtailed, and even our voice has been undermined. These factors brought us to our current state. Political tension not seen in generations. Traditional avenues of redress are under attack. The United States has a heritage of civil protest as a means to effect political change. However, even prior to the Trump era, legacy media has used gaslighting to undermine the protest message. Tea Party protesters have called racist and domestic terrorists. Trump rally attendees were called white supremacists. Peaceful protests have been called violent uprisings, while violent protests like BLM and Antifa have been called mostly peaceful. The media has essentially used propaganda to crush political expression. They are attempting to impugn the speakers to discredit the message. In recent years, suppression of expression has taken on another alarming turn, outright censorship. Divergent political views, even legitimate news stories, are being suppressed by legacy news media, Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, and other social media sites. That as private companies, they may censor content at their discretion. However, these social media companies have become the new town squares, where control over information goes far beyond that of a private company merely expressing its opinion. In addition, the Harris Biden administration recently disclosed the news colluding with social media oligarchs to prevent the spread of misinformation. Of course, anything contrary to the proposed narrative is considered misinformation. This is the power of government being used to crush political speech. It is a clear violation of our right of freedom of speech, and they don't care. Another means to affect government is, of course, the election. We all have a vote, and our vote matters until November 2020. Allegations of fraud hang over the 2020 election. Many assertions that allegations of fraud have been debunked are simply propaganda. The claims of fraud may or may not be true. We simply do not know because there has been no litigation of the evidence. Observers were barred from protesting. Election officials have deleted or have hidden laws. Our reports have been sealed or hidden from the public. Courts have used procedural arguments to avoid trying any of these election cases. There has been no public disclosure or debate of the evidence. We don't know if the election was stolen, and that is a problem. There can be no faith in elections without transparency. That no Republican from Ukraine and George W. Bush has been afforded a gracious transfer of power by the Democrats. Both George W. Bush and Donald Trump were called illegitimate for their entire presidency. No Democrat Party administration in 30 years has given up power graciously. Excuse my skepticism, but to believe nothing nefarious was done this time, I need to see the evidence. Bush told me we have government institutions to protect us from tyranny. Agencies have procedures to ensure equal treatment. The problem is they don't follow them. Laws are written to apply equally to all, but in practice they are applied selectively. It has become important that members of the deep state have become active political players. The IRS targeted the Tea Party and even disclosed confidential tax filings for political purposes, but nobody was fired or no prosecuted. They are being again by classifying faith-based organizations as Republican operatives. The FBI and CIA were converted into political hit machines to punish political opponents. Watergate pales in comparison. Numerous people went to prison for Watergate, yet only one low-level actor received a few months of probation for the biggest political scandal in my lifetime. In a Hillary Clinton email investigation, her associates were given immunity and the FBI helped destroy the evidence. Yet Robert Mueller spent 3 years and $25 million plus to investigate Donald Trump. Disturbingly, Mueller learned that this whole list of claims allegation was a hoax within the first 2 months of his investigation. Anyway, for another 3 years and through another election cycle. He wasn't investigating a crime, he was looking for it. Doing perjury traps, creating crimes, and supporting a propaganda ministry narrative. A sailor was in prison for taking an innocent picture aboard a submarine. Hillary Clinton exposed hundreds of classified documents but wasn't charged because she didn't mean it. The idea of immunity defense really seems to work for anyone but Democrats. The courts aren't blameless in this mess. Some attempts to politicize that identifying who appointed a judge is necessary for all court reporting. The political affiliation has become predictive of the presumption of equal application of laws and unbiased decisions is gone. Can we get rulings that Obama executive orders on immigration are constitutional, but Trump's aren't. The Democrats are even looking for the judicial system to further the corruption. The courts have also relative to the 2020 election. The Supreme Court is too busy redefining the Constitution to be bothered with its defense. It was the final institution in a position to ensure adherence to laws and adjudicate the evidence. Yet it simply declined to hear the cases. Protection of our voting rights was of no interest to the court. In 2021, we have reached an impasse. Our government no longer represents our interests. Our attempts to speak out are suppressed, our elections are corrupted, and the courts are no longer protecting our rights. This has become the propaganda ministry of the left. Government agencies will not acknowledge corruption. Political parties are doing nothing to fix this mess. In 1969, Richard Nixon stated that there was a large group of Americans who held traditional American values and who voted but avoided public attention. He called them the silent majority. His theory correct. The majority still exists in the beginning of the year for our current political environment. They became the angry majority that elected Donald Trump in 2016. Nothing since Trump left office has lowered their temperature. The oppression of their rights doesn't cool it, it inflames it. American citizens have never been subject and aren't likely to accept that status now. The left needs to keep two things in mind. Those who value their liberty are still a majority, and eventually their anger will turn into action. Our political leadership better get asleep before it's too late. If the majority's voices are silent, our actions will be loud. Tonight, this is KE0 VRT. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Bill. KE0 VRT. Before you go, I want to read something that you mentioned about the Department of Homeland Security. And they put out a posting of Oathkeepers posted it. Potential terror threat. Opposition to COVID measures. Claims of election fraud believe Trump could be reinstated. That's a terrorist threat. 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays. That's the three things that the Department of Homeland Security literally posted that those were potential terrorist threats. And my other thought before you go, Bill, if the left was so sure that this election was without fraud, they would be waving that evidence in our face. However, all they're doing is trying to stop any audit to try to see what went on during that election. There's nothing to see here, is the way the left is looking at it. Over.
That's exactly right, Bob. And you know, what you're talking about there with the Department of Homeland Security, those things you listed here in the near future will get you jailed indefinitely as a terrorist. You can just put your list. And you know, as far as the election goes, you know, they stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders. What makes you think they wouldn't have stolen the election itself? I mean, come on, really.
Roger, roger. Well, Bill, thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you. We'll look forward to you coming back again. Over.
God bless America. Glad I can hear you all tonight, and hopefully we'll be back again next week. So take care, everybody. This is
All righty, 73, it's good to hear you. KE0VRT. Next is Mr. Larry, but I'm going to acknowledge that KE8ADV just got online, so I'm going to put you on line number 11, Mr. Tony. So with that being said, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, KHLY, what do you say on round number 2?
Okay, Bob, I had a good article, but it looks like it's gone, gone here from the thing regarding, I remember some of it, Trump, regarding this infrastructure deal. This is just a farce about the infrastructure. 90% or more is for getting what they want. It's not having anything to do with infrastructure. And, so Trump is against it. He's the rhinos, Republicans that voted for it are, I don't know why they're doing it, but I mean, it's a bill that is just wasting much money and nothing for the infrastructure. It's all for other things. And of course, Trump is down on McConnell. He is not doing anything. Republican Party and taking care of any problems. So he certainly is trying to do right, trying to put the word out there on the infrastructure. Maybe I can get something pulled up here in a minute and see if I can get that pulled back up. But let's see what else. Trump is still giving speeches. Don't know, I think his next speech is coming up pretty soon. He's traveling around doing different things. So, I think he's got a lot of good ideas, and I think I think the people will vote for him now. They understand how lousy and sorry these socialist Democrats are. And hopefully, you know, we can get a fair chance to get him back in there and have a chance to run. Here's Trump. I've got an article regarding Trump slamming Biden for not following his plan he left on Afghanistan. And he talks about that being one of the articles here. It says, former President Trump slammed President Biden says we're not following the plan the former administration left for him regarding withdrawal from Afghanistan. He ran out of Afghanistan instead of following the plan our administration left for him, a plan that protected our people and our property, and ensured the Taliban would never dream of taking our embassy or providing a base for new attacks against America. The withdrawal would be guided by facts on the ground, Trump said in the statement. And so that's how I took out ISIS. I said this incredible deterrent. That deterrent is now gone. The Taliban no longer has fear or respect for America or America's power, he added. Let's see, moving on from there. Let's see, I guess that's the last that came up here. So, anyway, Trump's, he left him a way to get out, and the best way to do it safely, he's not following. Everything that Trump has done, he has changed or not done. Trump was building the wall. Biden shut down everything regarding the wall and even had to pay the contractors to sit there. They paid the contractors to sit there because they had to be paid. The money was allocated, but they told them not to do any work, not to combine, not to close the wall up, just let it go. So everything that they've done has been terrible. So anyway, I'll shoot it back to you up there, Bob, from N4ROQ Larry in Tennessee. Back to Nick.
Alrighty, Larry. Yep, they wanted to do anything they could to undo what President number 45 did. That is a true statement. Thank you, Mr. Larry. Let me jump down to Robbie in South Carolina. KO4GST. Mr. Robbie, what do you have for round number two?
Thank you, KAHLY. I got this story out of the New York Post. It's called, it says, Biden's infrastructure bill is chock full of anti-white racism. The infrastructure bill the Senate passed Tuesday discriminates against white people at every turn. Americans are enthusiastic about spending money on physical infrastructure, bridges, roads, broadband, but this racist bill hands out jobs and contracts and locates projects based on race, not merit. Minority businesses and neighborhoods hold the inside track. If you're white, you're low priority. The bill includes grants to install solar or wind technologies and generate jobs in areas decimated by closing coal mines or coal-fired electric plants. Here's the catch. When contractors bid, the bill says minority-owned businesses will get selected first. Bad news for small-time white contractors in depressed areas. The same is true for the bill's proposal to improve traffic patterns in cities. Contractors and subcontractors get priority only if they're owned by minorities or women. White male business owners can take a hike. Americans should be outraged but not surprised. After all, President Biden's American Rescue Plan Act, passed in March, also put into place an ugly system of discrimination against whites. It offered debt relief to black farmers but not white farmers. Another provision offered billions in aid to minority-owned and women-owned restaurants because struggling restaurant owners who happen to be white men that they had to go to the back of the line. The injustice was obvious. White male farmers and the restaurant owners sued, claiming anti-white provisions are unconstitutional. So far, these challengers are winning. In every case, judges have halted the race-based programs and the American Rescue Plan Act until the challengers have their day in court. Politico reported last week that Biden's Justice Department may fold without a fight on the black farm debt relief cases because the law isn't on the administration's side. You would think Democrats in the Biden White House would get the message. Instead, doubling down on rigging legislation and giving up taxpayers' dollars to benefit minorities and shortchange whites. Chances are high the infrastructure bill's hodgepodge of anti-white discrimination will be struck down by federal courts in the 1989 Supreme Court ruled that the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution bars government from trying to even the score by discriminating against whites in favor of minorities. The justice is warned against creating a patchwork of racial preferences based on successful generalization. To correct past injustices, precisely what the infrastructure bill does. The bill's backers would have you believe that the obsolete airports, dilapidated public works, and deteriorating roads and public spaces are evidence of racial injustice. Republican Vet Clark rails our infrastructure as racist and calls out in Congress to pass a bill that puts the needs of underdeserved and disadvantaged communities at the forefront. That's code for minority communities. But the truth is, there are plenty of poor white people in this country, too, and poor predominantly white communities that could benefit from a bold federal infrastructure initiative. Race and ethnicity should have nothing to do with it. Locate the project and put the funds where the economic need is greatest, regardless of race. West Virginia has the lowest average income in the nation and ranks 46th in internet connectivity. Maine ranks 36th out of 50 states for income and 34th in broadband connectivity. People in these states could really benefit from federal broadband assistance. Here's the hitch. The infrastructure bill passed tilts the grant scale in favor of states with high minority and non-English speaking populations instead of considering economic need and existing broadband capacity. Because Maine and West Virginia are 94% white, don't get less. Polls show that Americans favor fixing roads, bridges, and tunnels, and airports. but they don't agree on the way the infrastructure bill is planned out. Now, this is the kind of stuff we need to start reading, because when they're passing these bills, they're putting all their secret little agendas on them. We need to go in there, we need to read these bills, we need to tell other people to read them and be aware of what's going on, so we can do something to stop this and change it. KL4, GSC.
Alrighty, Robbie, thank you, from South Carolina. Good to hear you. I appreciate your input. KL4, GSC, KHOI. Let me jump over to Nebraska. Mr. Mo, I'm back to you. KD0, RSA, KAHJOY. Mr. Mo, I'm just curious, is your epic time coming to you still on time, or is the postman reading it before he gives it to you?
It's a coming, but it's always late.
And hopefully he's learning something. What do you think, over? Maybe the postman, your mailman, is reading the newspaper and getting something good out of it.
I think so. He reads my NRA magazine also, over.
Well, that's a good thing. All righty, Mr. Mo, thank you for riding along. Your amplifier is sounding good. KD0RSA, KHLY. I don't think Mr. Kirk stuck around, so I'm going to go down to Mr. Tony in Lakewood, Ohio, Kilo Echo 8, Alpha Delta Victor. Mr. Tony, good evening.
Hey, Rob. Good evening.
You were there, but you broke up.
Yeah, I'm not sure about my tuner here, but good evening, Robert, everyone else on the net. Yeah, there was a little bit, just throw this in here, this is kind of funny here. A gentleman in Kansas was a bank robber, went up and gave the teller a note, demanded the money. He gets the money, but instead of running off, he hangs around at the bank and just kind of fiddling around until the police got there. And when the police got there, he said, yeah, I'm the one you're looking for. Long story short, he went, and before he went to the bank, he actually left his wife a note. Said he'd rather sit in jail than spend more time with her. So, I don't know, I got a kick out of that. But anyway, yeah, forgive me if you guys already talked about this, but I just cannot get over how the government is advertising that, things didn't go as planned, so now we're going to send more of our people back to Afghanistan. Like, we're advertising that we're going back there. Don't understand why the news networks have this. I don't understand. It makes no sense. It's not reasonable, and it should bother every single American. I don't care what side of the political fence you're on. Those are all our kids that we're sending over there, and why they would advertise that is absolutely beyond me. So, anyways, figured I would check in and say hello. The gentleman, Mo from Nebraska, great signal into Cleveland, Ohio this evening. And I think the last time I was in here, November 2, Julia Tango Tango Laura, I think, if I remember correctly, she had a unique picture on our QRZ. I think she changed it. But anyways, good evening to everyone. Hope you had a great day today and enjoy your day tomorrow. And that's all I have, Robert. And yeah, I'm zipping through that part 107. The gentleman who came out with that process, the system, is pretty smart guy. This is a very easy way to learn this stuff. So I'll be grudgingly learning. That's all I have, Robert. KT8ADV, back to you.
Alrighty, Tony. Thank you, thank you. For those who don't know, Tony and I don't live far from each other, and we're both studying the FAA Part 107 for our drone license, and it's done in like a 14-hour tutorial. The beginning of it moves along, but then it starts to slow down. So there's some really pretty intense parts about the charts and that, but I'm enjoying it. I'm sure Tony will enjoy it. It is kind of fun. And yes, having lost a child to Afghanistan, everybody in America should be concerned that our government is telling the Afghanistan Taliban that we're coming over and tell them exactly how many they're sending. It's a wonder they don't tell them what trucks they're sending and what the license plate number is. You should not tell your enemy that you're coming to kick their ass. That is so wrong. So wrong. But under this administration, that's what they do. I'm going to check and see if I have any late check-ins before I jump to the 73 round. This is KHLY for the Great Liberty Net.
Kilo Golf 4, Zulu X-ray, and Charlie. Good evening, Bob, and everyone on the net.
Good evening, Mr. Jess. I was asking that young man up in South Carolina about you. So, KG4DX to the sea, I'm to you. Go ahead.
Hey, well, very good, Bob, and thank you for letting me slip in here. Yeah, I was procrastinating tonight on what to bring to the table. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been so angry and so mad about the whole situation, you know. I'm so tired of these preaching to the choir among preaching to the people out here on and off to Liberty Net. And I'm trying to emphasize this, that people need to get off your damn couch. Get off your couch and call your dang senator. I'm going to give you guys a story of reason why. I'm so dang angry about this because it just pisses me the hell off. Because there's two reasons, you know, this country is the way it is. One, for being lazy and not paying attention, is the other. And that's the problem with this country right now. Everybody needs to get off their butt and pay attention to this story. Because this is the kind of shit that the Democrats have been pulling for some time now. Schumer is fumed over Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz saved America at 3:30 a.m. from a massive power grab. Thank goodness for Senator Ted Cruz, who, let me lock this microphone down. Anyway, Senator Ted Cruz, who single-handedly saved America from federal elections in the dead of the last night, Senator Schumer brought SR1 to the floor around 3:30 a.m. This bill would finalize elections, and only one vote was needed to shoot down Schumer's senator. HR1 is what they're talking about. Anyway, Senator Cruz stood and objected, explaining exactly what this move by Democrats would do. This bill would constitute a federal government takeover of elections, and it would constitute a massive power grab for Democrats. If it would disenfranchise millions of Americans, and it would do precisely the opposite of its nominal title, for the people. It ain't for the people, it's for the dang Congress Act is what it is, and they call it for the people. Anyway, it is instead for the politicians, because the entrenched politicians and ensure that the people cannot vote them out of office any longer. It would strike down virtually every reasonable voter integrity law in the country, including the voter ID law, supported by the overwhelming majority of the country, including the prohibitionist on
on ballot harvesting against widely supported by the people in this country. It would mandate that the felons be allowed to vote, and it would also automatically register millions of illegal aliens to vote. It would profoundly undermine democracy in this country, and for that reason, he's objecting. So thank God for Senator Cruz there, Mr. Bob, and I hope everybody out here is paying attention. These sneaky bastards got up in there and trying to pass this bill at 3:30 a.m., and if Senator Cruz was not there to protect this, we would be under a dictatorship overnight. And that's how serious this whole issue is, ladies and gentlemen. And we are at war. Get it in your dang head. Get your head out of your ass and start paying attention, people. KG4ZXC in the Great Liberty Net. Back to you, Bob.
All right, Jesse. Next time I come to you, why don't you tell me how you really feel? KG4ZXC. Yes, that $1.2 trillion infrastructure, they say less than 10% of it is truly, truly infrastructure. Along with, they want to look into watching the mileage of the American people and taxes for how many miles you travel. One of the talk radio shows here in the Cleveland area, someone made a mention. So really, these computer chips that we can't get, are we just short on computer chips? Or were we waiting for this bill to pass so that those computer chips in the newer model vehicles would keep track of that mileage? Interesting thought. That's my piece for the top of the net. I'm going to kick off the 73 round. So with that being said, I'm going to go to Michigan. KG8, Echo, Hotel Romeo, Mr. Clint, what do you have for the 73 round, sir?
District Lynch. Thankfully, the band is kind of cooperative tonight, and you're sounding okay. KC8EHR, God bless and thank you for riding along with us. Really appreciate it. Miss Laura, N2JTT and N2IRJ, thanks for riding along with us on that SDR. Down to Mr. Bill, KO4FE. Mr. Bill, what are your thoughts on the 73 round? Over.
Okay, K8JOY, LibertyNet, KO4FE. Well, Bob, first, thanks for running the net. You always do a good job, and glad to hear some of the stations are getting some signals that are coming in a lot better. Still have a little noise, but they're getting over. Only a couple I couldn't hear very well. But anyway, you know, one of the insidious aspects of the media, when they, anytime they write a story that's got anything to do with certain topics, is not so much the information contained, but how they write these stories to kind of, there's always this slight misdirection or misleading aspect to them. And here's an example of a story, and if obviously reflects, this is a story about Portland, Oregon, but outside of the fact that it's reporting on the fact that crime has exploded there with these liberal nitwits, like I mentioned earlier, everything they touch turns to crap, but you know, since they've done their stupid police reform or whatever they call it, of course the criminals are going wild. But anyway, so that's the that's the above ground emphasis of this story. But there's a little, but you got to look at how this thing's written. This is where the real deception comes in. Anyway, headline: Black Portlanders are more likely to be murdered than their peers in cities better known for crime. It says, when an unknown gunman fatally shot 18-year-old Michaela Harris in the early morning hours of July 17th, the brazen killing in downtown Portland continued an alarming trend. Black Portlanders such as Harris are being murdered at an extraordinary rate. In fact, in the 12 months ending June 30th, more than one in every 1,000 black people living in Portland died in a homicide. That's a rate far higher than that experienced in U.S. cities most known for gun violence. Portland saw 94 homicides in that period, according to newly released Portland Police Bureau figures. And of that number, 39 victims, that is 41%, were black. Black people make up 5.8% of the city's population. Put another way, black Portlanders are killed at about 7 times their share of the city's population, 12 times the rate of white people. And a city commissioner says, I'm acutely aware of the high rate of black and brown victimization of gun violence. It's absolutely unacceptable. The 39 black victims killed in Portland in that 1 year marks a 250% increase from the 11 black homicide victims in 2019. Well, here's the thing that they don't talk about. Who's committing these murders? Who's killing these black people? You know, you could just as easily make a statement that said black people make up 5%, 5.8% of the city's population, but they commit 7 times more murders than their share of their population. Because you know that almost all these black people that are dying in these shootings are being killed by other black people, but they don't even touch that aspect of it. They tend to indicate, you know, they kind of like let the liberal reader assume, well, it's white people must be killing, you know. Why don't they just say black people are committing 7 times more murders? They don't even talk about who's doing the killing. That's not even mentioned. They just talk about the race of the victims. They don't even care about the race of the perpetrators. That would be useful information, I would think, but they don't touch that. They want to leave that kind of nebulous, you know, kind of let the self-haters assume that, well, that it's white people killing all these black people. So anyway, Bob, that's it for this round. I just have one story on the 73 round, but anyway, wanted to say 73 to everyone that checked in, and thanks to you for running the net. So anyway, I'm going to be out of here till Wednesday night. So KAA-JOY Liberty Net from KO4FE 73.
Roger, roger, Bill. KO4FE, KJY. Will you know as much as I do if any of those deaths were white people killing that black person? That would be headline. So the fact that they do not state the shooter, then that is how you know that it's black on black crime. And stop calling it gun violence. It's pure evil and violence. If they were using a hatchet, a hammer, a baseball bat, or a Crown Victoria, it's still a homicide and it's still violence. But notice how they have to put that word gun in front of it, over.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that I forgot to mention is they want to blame it on the gun. It's gun violence, as if it's like the COVID virus or cancer. It's just, it's an entity that's just floating out there known as gun violence. There's no human aspect to it. It's just like you get shot, you die of gun violence. It's like dying of the China virus.
Roger, roger. I hear Mr. Frank, W2GIO. I will put you on the list. You know, I set my firearm out on the counter one night, and I told it, now you be good. I don't want you going out and shooting anybody. And when I got up in the morning, you know what, Bill? That weapon did not shoot anybody.
Yeah, well, maybe these people in Portland need to get guns that listen to their owners.
That would be a good thing. We'll have to work on that. Thank you, Susan. KO4FE, KJY. Appreciate it. Mr. Bill in Missouri checked out, KE0VRT. So now we're down to Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. Mr. Larry, what do you have for the 73 round?
Okay, thank you. Good to hear. Just got a couple of things I just wanted to say regarding the UFO cover-up. There definitely is a UFO cover-up. People that think there's not any aliens out there haven't researched it enough to know or don't want to believe. Let me tell you, there is 100%. Sure, 100%. Not 99%. So, if you want to know a little bit more about it, the day after Roswell, Colonel Philip J. Corso is the author. He's a guy who did a lot of, gave out a lot of information and parts and different things regarding after the Roswell crash. Roswell, New Mexico, 1947. Crashed in the newspaper, flying disc crashes in Roswell, New Mexico. Came out in all the papers in the United States. Probably the world. Then it came the next day, weather balloon. Change out the weather balloon. And of course, it was a cover-up.
but this Lieutenant Colonel Corso tells it all in this book, what we got from that craft, integrated chips, circuit chips, fiber optics, lasers, super tenacity fibers, night vision, particle beam weapons, and you've got hookmasks to control the ship.
Made use of that, I noticed, in a lot of the helicopters that we have nowadays, things like that. So, that's just some of the things that he gave all those to different companies, General Electric, Bell Labs. The U.S. is going to have lasers, and I think they've got them all out of planes right now. They've got laser weapons on their airplanes, and they put them on their ships. I've seen them on the internet quite often, so they're putting them on anything they can get them on as fast as they can. So be watching for laser weapons on all of their stuff. So anyway, again, the name is The Day After Roswell. It's an older book. There's some still out there. They're not very high cost, but I'll take it. You can still get the paperback or hard copy. It tells all about different things that happened and how we played around with them. They couldn't do anything about it to them anyway, so they wanted to harvest their people and have babies and all this stuff. I believe it's all true. Maybe they're here now. I would say there's probably a 90% chance they're here now and they integrated their people. So just remember, there's a lot of stuff going on, and don't just always think free and look at the facts. Read a lot. Don't take my word for it. I can give you a lot of people's names. And Bob Lazar, Phil Snyder, P-H-I-L-S-T-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. Look him up on YouTube. Look at all the stuff he says. Those two will give you a good start, especially Phil Snyder. Back to you there, Bob, on the Liberty Net, K-A-8-J-Y, from N4ROK.
All right, Mr. Larry, thank you. N4ROQ, the day after, about Roswell. I might have to look into that. I'll have to do that after my Part 107, that aircraft book, so. N4ROQ, K-J-O-I. Mr. Robbie, I'm down to you in South Carolina. K-O-4, D-S to the T. What's going on for the 73 round, sir?
Thank you, K-A-A-K-O-Y. This is K-O-4, G-S-T, in the state of South Carolina. Well, buggers are domestic in 100 degrees. It's still 50 weather. And I just want to comment on what KG4 ZXT said earlier. And he's right. We all need to start getting our heads out of our asses and getting ready. Because we need to protect what America is and what it means, not just for us, but the true meaning of it. For our families, the core beliefs, everybody who's made the sacrifice, everybody who's done the work. We need to keep it alive. People are trying to destroy that. They're trying to rip it away. They're trying to turn it into nothing. And we need to make sure and ensure that keeps on going forever, because that's our civil duty. And I know some of us may be prepared, but there's others out there that aren't. And it's our job to help make them ready, to help make them aware of what's going on and let them know. You know, that might be a choice to make. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. I mean, we're not, you know, future prophets or nothing like that. All we can do is just be the best prepared we can. You know, down here in the South, we live like the Boy Scouts, the country boys, and we're always prepared. And I think everybody needs to kind of take that motto to heart in these days. So this is KO4GST, and I want to say 73s, and I hope everybody has a good week.
All righty, Robbie. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. I look forward to hearing you next Saturday. KO4GST, KJY, 73s. Down to Mr. Moe, 80RSA. Mr. Moe, your final thoughts, over.
80RSA, low down here in Nebraska. Well, one thing I would do want to mention is you might look up on your computer the Digital Angel.
I wrote it down on my legal pad. I will look at that, and I'll let you know next time we talk. So thank you for joining us, Mo. You're sounding great here in Ohio. The storms have all passed, and I don't know if you heard Tony in Lakewood, KE8ADV. He said you were bringing a strong signal into Lakewood. Over. Roger. I just was saying that one of the guys in Lakewood, which is near Cleveland, he said you were booming into Lakewood, Ohio. Over. Keep your powder dry. So, with that being said, I will go to Lakewood, Ohio. KE8ADV, Mr. Tony, your final thought.
Really enjoy listening to this net. So I'm listening and I'm around on the internet. Found a very interesting article that'll kind of tie into my last statement here. Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine. Changes to gender-neutral language. So, yeah, the medical people that do the breastfeeding are changing their language to gender-friggin-neutral. So, my closing statement of the night is we all need to go to bed and we need to pray for this country. Because when the medical community that specializes in breastfeeding is changing their language to be gender-neutral, we have gone off the rails, and that's all I got for you, Robert. We will talk to you soon, 88ADB.
All righty. I will look forward to seeing you sometime next week. We'll have another breakfast and enjoy visiting. So thank you, Tony, for joining me tonight. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow night down the band. KE8ADV on the breastfeeding. With that being said, Mr. Jesse, KT4ZXNC, your final thoughts, Mr. Jesse?
Hey, well, very good, Bob. And good evening. Thanks for running the net tonight, Bob. And good evening, Bill. Bill and all the other Bills out there. And Mr. Larry in Tennessee. And also everybody else who's checked in tonight. Hey, well, this is KG4ZXL, the Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania. Once again, I'm down here in beautiful South Carolina. And I was going to bring up this last little bit of information. You know, you always hear me griping about Voter Fraud State of Pennsylvania. Well, you know, our Governor Tom Wolf, you know, that douchebag, yeah, that guy, I'm telling you. I thought he was really bad, and then I started reading the news down here in South Carolina. Oh, my God, I thought Tom Wolf was bad. Then I read about Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Let me tell you something about Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He's another real piece of fine artwork. He should be on Hunter Biden's law as a piece of art. Awesome. Did you know that he was one of the douches that decided to vote with all the Republicans who went over to the Democratic Party to make this a bipartisan vote? My God, people. Anyway. Anyway, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina was censured by the Aiken County Republican Party over this vote in favor of that so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill. That was the word I was trying to say. Anyway, they said Lindsey Graham consciously violated the platform of the South Carolina Republican Party. So everybody down here in South Carolina has pretty much had enough of the rhino Lindsey Graham, along with the other ones. I want to read these off to you, just so you guys from all your counties and states that helped Republican senators in favor of the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Blunt, Burr, Capito, Cassidy, Collins, Kramer, Crapo, that's a good name for him, Fisher, Graham, Grassley, Chuck Grassley, yeah, that guy. So anyway, Hoeven, McConnell, everybody knows Mitch McConnell, Mikulski, Portman, Risch, Romney, everybody knows Romney, Sullivan, Tillis, and Wicker. And that's the Republicans that went over to the leftist side and voted for this bill. So, hey, if you live down here in the Carolinas, I recommend everybody put a sign in their trucks or on their cars and let everybody know what a traitor Lindsey Graham is to this great country and this state also. Hey, with that, I ain't going to hold up any longer, Bob, but thanks for running that and everybody who's checked in tonight. And good to hear you also, Mr. Moe. You're coming in, Lima Charlie over here. So God bless you, sir, and everybody else. Excuse me. And this is KG4, State of Pennsylvania, back to Mr. Bob, KHLY, in the Saturday Night Living Net. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Jesse, and unfortunately that Portman, Rob Portman, in the state of Ohio, he's a disappointment. We have our fair share of disappointments here. Marsha Fudge, the HUD secretary, that disappointment was also provided by the state of Ohio. How sad. KG4ZX and a C, KJY. Last but not least, Mr. Frank, I caught you right at the end. Checking in, Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar. Mr. Frank, what do you have to say to us, along with good news?
Okay, W2GIO, Frank in Fish Patch, New York, Fishkill, New York. Well, I have hot off the press as of 9:46 p.m. yesterday, which is now Sunday, a note from Wendy Rogers, and she says, "Hi, Francis. I have an announcement. At the Election Integrity Symposium put on by Mike Lindell in South Carolina, I had the honor of meeting patriots from around the country, many in state legislatures like me. And after this fantastic week, I have this to announce. There are many of us in all 50 states who are passionate about election integrity and committed to secure elections." It says, I'm Arizona Senator Wendy Rogers. I'm an Arizona State Senator fighting for election integrity in Arizona and beyond. Those of us fighting for election integrity in America's statehouse have joined forces. An election integrity caucus consisting of lawmakers from all 50 states has officially been formed. I'll read that again. An election integrity caucus consisting of lawmakers from all 50 states has officially been formed. Arizona Senator Wendy Rogers, who is one of the caucus founders, made the special announcement while attending Mike Lindell's cyber symposium with other members of the newly formed caucus. And Wendy says, I am one of the founding members of the Election Integrity Caucus that consists of legislatures from all 50 states. It reminds me of the Continental Congress, and what Senator Rogers tweeted. We all meet regularly and we will talk regularly to implement the securing our elections. So anyhow, there's a picture of a whole bunch of these people. Says, of course, you know that I want Arizona to vote in election 6. I was the, it was the sham of 20, this is not incorrectly. It says here, but this goes beyond Arizona. I want every county, every state to audit. Let's clean up the whole thing. Just to heck with Biden and Merrick Garland. They were benefactors of the steal. They are compromised. We need to fight them. Anyhow, let's see. That's long and short of it. That there's a caucus, there's a gang got together and they are going to be doing something. So, and that's a good thing. So, I'm supporting Wendy Rogers. I sent her my $5,200 and, I just got to put my money where my mouth is. So, I got another guy running locally for, representative, and he's a National Guard guy, and he's gonna try to oust a Democrat that's in this position locally. So, anyhow, so I'm sending him some bucks to get him going, and I'm gonna volunteer to help him anywhere. I gave him my email address and said, call me if you need me to do some work for you. So yeah, gotta roll up the sleeves. Okay, and oh yeah, by the way, there is good news after all, and that is that God loves us and wants to bless us. So that's the good news for the night. Yeah, back to you, Bob. W2GIO, and thanks everybody else for checking in. W2GIO, Fish Patch.
Thank you, Frank. W2GIO, K2Y. Appreciate your input. The gentleman that asked about checking in, come back, please.
Yes, sir. I hope I'm not interrupted. Call sign, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Tango November. I'm in Niles, Michigan, and you guys are all sounding good.
All right, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Tango, and a November. I'm at the bottom of the list. Charles, go ahead and tell us what's on your mind before I close it.
Well, not much. God bless America. I'll be 61 this October. America and God bless AM radio, and hopefully we'll get a new president in a couple years. But we live in the greatest country in the world, and I just want to say sometimes I think we all take it for granted, but it is the greatest country in the world. Just my opinion. Everybody stay safe. Again, God bless, and
well, if it wasn't a great country, people wouldn't be trying to get here, especially the Cubans that are wearing American flags because they want the freedom that this country offers. Over.
Well, if you look up on QRZ, my webpage, I fly 3 flagpoles and 6 flags. I love this country.
Well, I gotta admit, I fly 2. The American flag at the top, and the United States Marine flag underneath it. So, thank you for your patriotism and waving those flags.
Well, I got 6 flagpoles. The Arkansas state flag for my mom and dad has passed away. They were both from Arkansas. Marine flag. Air Force flag for my son in the Marines, my son-in-law that's currently serving in the Air Force, my Navy flag, and my Merchant Marine World War II flag.
Well, that is definitely an honor, and I want you to particularly tell those two boys, the U.S. Marine and the U.S. Air Force, thank you for their service from a Gold Star father from the U.S. Marine Corps.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you for yours.
All righty, sir. Well, I appreciate you jumping in there. Before I end it, I'm going to refer to my S.W. Eller from Alabama that wrote me the letter. I think it's John, if I remember correctly. His thoughts were to make sure that I say, does anybody have a final thought before I close the net? Over.
Hello, Charlie 3. Papa Tango Charlie.
Somebody's hollering.
Yep, Kilo Charlie 3, go ahead and finish it.
Papa Tango Charlie, protect the Constitution. I'm sorry, guys. I was tired. I thought I was going to miss a net. I said, let me turn it on just in case. So I just wanted to say good evening, everybody. I work now on Wednesdays, so I won't be able to join on Wednesdays. But I will be here Saturday. I'm sorry, Mr. Klein. I'm sure it was a good night. I literally was just turning the power on, and I heard you out there. So I wanted to say good evening. So sorry, Mr. And this is KC3. Protect the Constitution. Back in that control.
Roger, roger, Tim. Thank you for joining us. KC3, PTC. I appreciate your input. Any other words you'd like to state before I move on?
I wish I could tell you yes. My brain is fried a little right now. I started a new job working for UPS overnight on top of my regular 9-to-5, which is actually 11-to-7. I've been just trying to recoup a little bit. I went out and visited my daughter and my granddaughter and my son-in-law this evening, and I just got back. So on anything newsworthy that I wanted to talk about. So I'll be more prepared next week. Back to you.
All righty. I will look forward to hearing your voice next week. KC3, PTC, thank you for joining us. Any other last thoughts before I close the Liberty Net?
How is this radio station from Michigan sounding? This is KPHAT. And what kind of signal you have on me?
I am showing just shy of 30 over S9.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't know if I was getting out that well. I got nothing fancy. Back to net control. Thank you for the signal report.
All righty. Well, you're doing a fine job across that pond. I'm south of the city of Cleveland. I'm in one of the highest areas of Summit County. So you are doing a great trip.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
20 over at 9 here.
I just want to let the guy in Michigan know that in eastern PA, just outside of Philadelphia, a solid 5-9.
We got someone from there, Bob. That's you, the other guy.
I think Mr. Bo was yelling out to us, Larry. Mr. Bo, did you have a comment?
Yes, so shouting that guy from Michigan here.
Thank you for the 15 over 9. You're doing a fine job also. You're a 15 over 9. Back to net control.
Roger, roger. Thank you, Mr. Bo, for jumping in there. It's great having you with us. Mr. Larry, what was your comment?
Just had a question. The other gentleman that was, he's fairly weak on me, but is he out toward the out west, or where's he located, the gentleman that? I checked in before the Michigan station.
Well, let's see. Frank was Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar. He's in Fishkill, New York. Charles is in Michigan, KC8KTN. And then Tim is in Haverton, Pennsylvania, KC3, Protect the Constitution. Over.
Okay. Some reason I thought he might be west. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And have a good week, guys, and remember Wednesday night. But remember the Liberty Net is again on Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Back to you there, Bob.
All righty, Mr. Larry. All righty, I'll try it one more time. Any other final thoughts before I close the door? Go ahead. Mr. Charles, Kilo Tango November, do you hear the other station?
Yes, I do. He is 10 over S9. Signal and good audio. Well, you're doing a fine job here at 10 over 9, right into the red. And I'm running an ICOM 7300 off center fed Windham up at about 25. And I got a Kenwood TL922A and hit me with about 65 watts, but you're doing a fine job.
Clint, I really have to say I like when you said the word behind enemy lines. I don't know if you do, Mr. Jim, Kilo Echo 8, Ida November Echo. He was a Michigan militiaman. He was an entrepreneur. He was also, I believe, clergy for the militia. So he used to say the same word, behind enemy lines in the great state of Michigan. Because of my participants, which totaled 15. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, with that being said, any final thoughts before we close the net? This is KAJY. Nothing heard. I'm going to thank my Alabama person who wrote the letter, Mr. John. Thank you, John. I hope you're listening. SWLer from Alabama. I appreciate it. From the state of Akron, PRK, a friend of mine who we have lunch together in the Akron-Summit County area. Thank you for recording. Mr. Paul, also thank you for recording the Great Liberty Net. It's always a pleasure to see it posted online as soon as we're done. With that being said, as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabas a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the U.S. Navy sailors and soldiers that are there listening. For those who don't know, Mr. Victor always closed the net with that similar statement, so we've continued that tradition. A special thank you and a rest in peace to Silent Key, one of them being Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Vern, W9FAM, Mr. Jim from Michigan, K8INE, Mr. Robert, KN4DS, Mr. Mike, N3TBA, Mr. Frank, W2WTW, Mr. Harvey, WHMTB, Mr. Harrison, K4DAR, Mr. Dennis, KB2DYB, Mr. Yuzi, KE2LO, and Mr. Mike, KI2J. It is my prayer for God to bless this great America. God bless each and every one of you. Please pray for our leaders. We need better leaders, so pray for some new ones to get into office. With that being said, this is KAHJOY with the Great Liberty. Good night.
735,
God bless.
Find you. Awesome job, Net Control.
Thank you to each and every one of you, KAHJOY.
You are the Paul Harvey of the Net.
Well, I have to admit, I have a wonderful mentor, Mr. Victor, and we have Mr. Marty, our net manager, so we are definitely continuing the tradition. Over.
Good job, Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, thank you. This is KJY, going to turn the big switch.